It's that time again.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Watch out.
Here it comes.
Courtside Podcast. I'm your host, Hank McCoy, and with me,
the
People's Champ,
Pinrock
Vince. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
You are lacking again in your intros, but I'm really excited to this show.
What do you mean that was a lung full of airs then? It was
lung full of something.
Oi! Of course, the Courtside Podcast proudly brought to you by A&D Sports Management tonight, so we thought, hey, what better opportunity to bring the guys from A&D Sports Management over to the show to talk about their future projects. And, of course, recently James Ennis, who was just out here in Australia. We've got Ahmed and Quico. Did I murder that name?
You did all right. Sweet. Thanks for having us, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's always the first go around that I destroy, so. But don't worry, I usually destroy basic English anyway, so. Now, guys, we should jump straight into it. I mean, you guys recently just had Miami Heat small forward James Ennis out here. Please tell me how that came about. Tell me a bit about A&D Sports Management.
Pretty much the way it all came about was that my cousin and I have grown up just with a big sporting background, whether it be from soccer to basketball to AFL, pretty much all things sport. Seeing as I went to university and studied about it, and my cousin's grown up playing it and been around in terms of all the practical side of coaching and taking part in volunteer events and constantly going to games, we just sat down and said to ourselves, you know, why don't we actually try and put our heads together and actually come up with an idea of something that we can do to make an impact on the community with sports and our knowledge that we have. So it pretty much took about 5 months, but the first thought was pretty much Quirkle coming up with the idea how we would target James Ennis in the sense that he's come to Australia before, he's had a bit of a brand, he's had a bit of a, an influence on the Australian basketball scene, and he's done well and he's gone overseas and did okay in his first season.
So, I spoke to Ahmed and we identified, you know, a way that, a marketing opportunity and also a way that James can connect with the Australian community as well, considering that, you know, he won a championship with Perth and, you know, he was a household name in the NBL, so we thought, you know, why not bring him back after his successful season with the Miami Heat and sort of get in touch back with the Australian community and run a clinic and do some community-based, charity events as well.
Outside looking in, it just looks like you guys have just hit the ground running. But there's got to be a lot of hard yards and preparation that goes into sort of launching something like this.
Without a question, for the last 4 months, like Quirk and I, we've been working our asses off. Like, so if I'm not allowed to swear on the podcast,
no,
you can't fucking swear on this podcast.
we're going to bed at 2-3 in the morning, doing conference calls to LA to his agent. So
that's typing up emails, to typing up proposals, to making round the clock phone calls to this company, to that company, and taking days off, pulling in sick, faking sickies to get things done, and massive stress.
You got to do what you got to do, right? You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. And me and Ahmed also discussed, growing up in Melbourne, we never really had sort of community-based events where an athlete of, James's stature would come down to our, community centre or to our primary school or high school and, just do some little bit of motivational speaking and, do a camp and stuff like that. So
I'm not surprised you guys are hit the ground running, because I've known Ahmed for a long time now. And
you poor bastard.
And you have got a good work ethic, but I've got a little job for you. You've got to, just for me, you've got to get Shaq out here at some stage.
Oh, boy. Australia's not ready for you to meet Shaq, to talk to Shaq, to be any sort of... you're not allowed to be any sort of close proximity to Shaq. I'm sure there'll be...
Mate, yeah, look, they're probably a restraining order put on me.
Yeah.
You're going to make it happen. It'd be a dream come true for me. I'm happy to get coffees, everything, carry your bags, whatever, wash your clothes, whatever. Just make it happen.
Milk it, guys.
You know, Shaq, Rodman, whatever, you know. How did the Collingwood function go? And just to thank you for the invite, because I am a massive Collingwood fan.
Sorry, Vinny. Well, the thing is, with Collingwood, you know, that wasn't really our main club that we wanted to target, because we're actually looking at Richmond first, Richmond and then Melbourne.
Yeah.
And then we said to ourselves, hold on, well, who's got the biggest, you know, support group in Melbourne and in the AFL in general? And they've got the biggest, you know, the biggest following. So we're like, okay, well, Collingwood's probably the better option.
Now, I've got to ask you guys, you know, you guys are on a basketball podcast right now. Are you guys basketball fans?
Yeah, we are. We both are. Armit's a basketball fan as well. Obviously, his first love of sports is English soccer, but he does watch basketball as well. But
We can forgive him for that. We can forgive him for that.
Can I just tell a quick story? The very first day I met Armit.
Go for it.
I don't know if you remember Ahmed, but I met Ahmed working in retail, and he was downstairs working alongside me, and he's a tall bugger, and I thought, he's got to play basketball, because, I was playing Open League, and I'm like, I've got to get this guy on the team, he's got to play basketball, he's tall, and don't take this the wrong way, but he's black, he's got to be good. And I said to Ahmed, I go, do you play basketball? And he goes, nah, I play soccer, man. I'm like, my heart just sunk. I'm like, God damn, this kid's so tall, he's playing soccer.
It's the difference between pro and rec leagues. It's like, height goes a long way.
I was thinking, I was texting friends, going, I think I found our new centre. And then we've been friends pretty much ever since.
Ahmed, who do you follow? What NBA team do you follow?
Growing up, like, you know, I guess because we're all 90s babies, so called that was mainly the Chicago Bulls, obviously, when they were doing crazy things back in the 90s, but more so, I think it was probably the Orlando Magic because of Tracy McGrady.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, I was a massive, massive Tracy McGrady fan. I even bought the sneakers and the jersey and everything.
My condolences.
And then when he left, I just felt like, oh, it was kind of dumb. It's like, you know, you can't just support one player, you meant to support a team, but when he left, I kind of just was just like, forget about it. And then I kind of followed the Houston Rockets a little bit, but that was shit, so it didn't really matter.
Hey, I'm not going to judge, man. For years, I only followed players because my whole reasoning was a team will break your heart. You know, a team will sign your best, your favorite player and trade them a week later and just crush you. Cueco, what about you, Cueco? What team you follow?
Yeah, I'm a big Lakers fan.
Oh, no.
My brother was...
You guys are everywhere.
I've got an older brother, so, you know, whatever he was watching at the time, I would also, you know, watch as well. So he was a big Shaquille O'Neal fan and still is today. So when Shaq was signed with the Lakers, you know, back in the day when it was Nick Van Exel, Eldon Campbell, Eddie Jones, I jumped on the bandwagon as well and became a Lakers fan when I seen Kobe as well. So I've been a Lakers fan ever since then. So pretty much you could say when Shaq went to LA, that's when I became a fan as well.
Favorite LA player?
Kobe, without a doubt.
Wow, right on.
What do you reckon, Quaker? You reckon he's going to retire after this season?
I think he will. I definitely think he will. I think that Father Time's just around the corner. I think he can see it. So I definitely think that he'll probably hang up the boots at the end of this season, upcoming season.
Well, I think it's definitely around the corner, because if Byron Scott is going to infused to the team what he said he's going to, I think it's just going to be literally wear and tear. Of course, through the week, Brian Scott come out and said, you know, Kobe Bryant will play some power forward this season. I've got to ask you guys, especially as Laker fans, is he trying to get fired?
I think he's tanking already for Ben Simmons. I think that's what they're doing. They're just tanking for Ben Simmons.
Oh, yes, please. Oh, boy. See, Quaker, we're not used to this, are we? We're not used to lotteries and just being crap. We're used to the bling bling. We're used to the championships.
Yeah, I know. I think we're a couple of free agents away from that. I think, you know, Westbrook comes off the books 2017, I think, if I'm correct, 2017.
Yep.
So,
yep.
And also KD comes off the books at the end of next season, so upcoming season. So we'll see. I think we're a couple of free agents away from really you know, getting back to being a powerhouse in the Western Conference.
Can I shut up for a moment? I'm also liking the... see, Roy hit it, got him for cheap, but he's already lost, I think he's lost about 20 pounds, 15 to 20 pounds. So he sounds committed. I think if he can give us 12 and 10 and protect a rim, I think it's going to be a great pickup. I'm excited to watch him play, actually.
If Hibbert can get back to top 10 defensive player, I think you guys are set.
Yeah. I disagree. I feel that in today's NBA, those 7-footers are pretty much like dinosaurs. You know, you need to have that. You know, you look at Draymond Green, you know, he can play the 5 spot. You know, you look at, this 6'9", 6'10".
All those stretch fours.
Stretch fours, yeah, exactly right. You look at maybe like Kevin Love could play the 5 or Tristan Thompson could play the 5, you know. So I can't see Roy Hibbert being in the game in crunch time, you know, in the fourth quarter and stuff like that. And I just think, I don't know, I just don't know if he really can fit in today's NBA moving forward. You look at Boga. Boga was on the bench in the finals because that's just how the league is going now. So, you know, I don't know. I hope so. I hope Hibbert can give us, you know, 10 and 12, but, yeah, I'm not too sure. See, I love Rudy Gobert because Rudy Gobert's got the length, but the fact that Rudy Gobert can, you know...
He can get up and down the court, yeah.
Yeah, he can show on the pick and roll and he can defend, you know, so...
My thing with that whole theory is this. It's, you know, whatever's old is new again, and it's the same with the league. All it takes is one team, a la Golden State, to win it playing small ball, and every other team freaks out. Oh, we need to model our team after that. But
That's true.
Every year it happens. It's hilarious.
I remember when Don Nelson was doing that with the Warriors, when they had Steven Jackson and they beat the Mavs. Everyone thought he was crazy. And now look at it. Every team's trying to play small.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting season.
You know what the funny thing is? Don Nelson did that in the early 90s with the Warriors when he had the run TMC. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And he was playing four guards and a power forward at centre, and they knocked off the San Antonio Spurs in the first round, and everyone thought, oh, this is amazing. So he's been doing it for a while. He's probably the pioneer or the innovator, you could say.
And it's funny, with that team he had, excuse me, Chris Webber playing that, you know, that 4-5 spot, it's perfect. It's perfect as well for him to play that spot because, you know, with his passing ability and the fact that he can hit that outside jump shot, it would have worked out perfectly.
But the thing is with that, like, you know, we touch on Golden State and their small ball. You know, those teams never won anything.
Yeah, it's true.
It's only been last season's Golden State team that actually jumped the curve and got something done and sort of proved that it can be done that way. But, you know, we touch on Golden State. There is something I wanted to talk about, that team. Why isn't anyone talking about Golden State going back-to-back?
That's a funny thing because even when as soon as we picked up James and his agent from the airport and we're walking back to our car, we're just talking basketball and, you know, we asked him their thoughts on the championship and he just laughed and was like, there's no way they're going to do it back-to-back. He goes, there's no way. He said, if Kyrie and Kevin Love had been fit, then it would have been a completely different story.
So here's my counter to that. Like, we watched that series unfold. It was fantastic. Like, I got to admit, I was a bit biased. I was gunning for Golden State. I really want to see those guys win a chip. It's been way too long for them. But it's not as if Klay Thompson and Steph Curry had explosion games in this series. It was all matchup. Like, Klay never had a real big offensive output because he was the dummy guy. He was the guy that had to keep someone on, and they stayed on him all series. So he couldn't really get off. It's like, I always see the counter to that. It's like, I get it. Like, you know, Cleveland are a stronger team with obviously a healthy Irving and Kevin Love. And it definitely changes that series. But, you know, I think, look at the additions that Golden State have made this year. And this I suppose, comes down to my biggest point with Golden State, because they trade away David Lee, who's on basically his last leg, and he ends up in Boston. You know, they bring in Gerald Wallace, who they quickly flip for a pretty serviceable guy in Jason Thompson.
Yeah.
Look, I know there's not a lot of people out there watching Sacramento games the last few years, but he's a team guy. He doesn't mind coming off the bench, and he's a bit of a double-double machine.
Yeah, he's also a good defensive rebounder as well. He gets the boards as well, but he goes missing in some games because I actually had him in fantasy.
The true measure of a player.
I had him in fantasy, so he does... He does go missing. But the thing is, though, when you're around winners and you're around people like, you know, Klay and Bogan and Steph Curry and Draymond, you know, they sort of pick him up and lift him and take him to another level that he's probably never, you know, gone onto before. Playing with the Kings, you know, maybe he wasn't really ready to turn up certain nights to play at a high level. So I think playing alongside, you know, Bogan and Draymond and Steph Curry and Klay, maybe that's going to take him to another level. So,
yeah.
yeah, it's definitely, you know, people are not talking about the Jason Thompson signing, but he's not a bum, put it that way.
No, definitely not. Vince, we've been high on him for years, haven't we?
Yeah, in 2K, I always trade for Jason Thompson straight away. Put him on the bench and play forward, power forward and centre.
Yet again, another true measure of a player. Fantasy, 2K, in that order.
That's it, mate. That's it. But I actually think Harrison Barnes is still got a lot of improvement left in him. I'm hoping he can sort of take another step next season. Don't be surprised if you see a rematch in the NBA Finals.
Ooh.
I know the Spurs got LaMarcus, but, geez, I'm going to say it. That's it for them.
Oh, come on. Vince.
Stuff them. They've won enough.
I'm warning you, Vince. I'm warning you. Every year we count them out. Every year they're wiping our face in the dirt.
No, they've gone to the world once too often.
Don't do it. The basketball gods do not look kindly on this.
you know
the track record. They're year on, year off, year on. Well, they had last season off. Now it's time for a year on. And
No, they're done. To the world once too often. Wow. What do you guys think? Get rid of the Spurs. They're done.
Look, it's a tough one because, like you were saying before, they take a year off and then they come back and reload and win a championship, get to the finals. But with LaMarcus, it's going to be really interesting because, you know, the Spurs play that pace and space game where, you know, with Danny Green and Leonard and Duncan and everything like that. But LaMarcus is so used to having the ball in his hand and, you know, sort of an isolation sort of player. So it's going to be interesting to see how they can sort of mesh him into that sort of system as well. You know, it's going to be really interesting. But I think people are sleeping on OKC.
They are loaded. I love their team. I totally agree with you.
Well, one name with the Spurs, though, just before we bounce off them, Greg Popovich.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot about that. That's so true.
It's not as if the Spurs are trying to work LaMarcus Aldridge into this offense and they've got Derek Fisher. Pop's pretty clear. He knows what he's doing. I think the Spurs are going to be fine this year.
I just think that Tony Parker will have trouble guarding Westbrook. I think that's a matchup that favours Westbrook. And Durant as well. Like, who's going to guard Durant as well? If OKC goes small, Duncan or LaMarcus is going to have to sit out. So I don't know how long they're going to be on the court together with the small ball as well these days. So it's going to be interesting. I think Spurs are going to have some matchup problems.
And age problems. That's got to catch up with them soon. I mean, this isn't fair.
Well, I feel like they are on their last legs, but I just feel like they'll walk away for the game before you see it on the court, like before you see that age factor kick in. I think there was probably a long conversation with Timmy and Manu this off season about where their bodies were at. You know, the additions they had made obviously contributed to it, but I sort of think those guys are total pros. They'll know.
I've had enough of them. They've won enough. I'm sick of them. Then they're arrogant, pissy, bloody fans. They just so arrogant. Oh, we're building another trophy case. Yeah, well,
this coming from a Lakers fan. Come on now.
We're not arrogant, are we? We're not arrogant.
No, not at all. We just win. We just
they're still catching us, mate. We got 16, 15, 16? Yeah.
16.
There you go.
Yeah. what are your guys' thoughts on what happened with DeAndre Jordan and Dallas?
I don't really have a problem with it. He's rights to change his mind. And what do they call it? Is it the moratorium?
Yeah, moratorium, yep.
Yep, yep. Or as Marcellus Wiley calls it, the mummatorium, because he got his mum to call. So, yeah, I mean, he could change his mind. He probably just should have handled it a bit better, being a man and man up and just tell Mark Cuban, I've changed my mind. I love the Clippers.
I want a Netflix miniseries. That's what I want. I want all that drama. I want it in a three-part Netflix series so I can watch it.
And that's true. Like, he should have manned up and told Mark Cuban. But the thing is, though, I'm going to take the player side because, you know, you guys know when players get traded, you know, they get promises from the GM and the head coach, you know, this is your city, we love you here, and we want to do something special, blah, blah, blah. And then they're sitting at home on the couch, you know, Deron Williams, and they watch an ESPN, the ESPN ticker, and they find out they've been traded to the New Jersey Nets. So,
yeah, you know
it's, it's a tough one. There's no loyalty towards a player as well. So I think DeAndre Jordan, you know, he had every right to, you know, to do that. You know, these owners at the collective bargaining agreement, the last CBA they had, it showed that they don't respect the players. So at the end of the day, it's a players' league. But I guess it's a business, like they say, like the GM says to the player or the owner, it's business. So
it's not official till they're signed on the dotted line.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly.
But Darren Williams is a bad example. He wet the bed for a few years in Utah before that went through. old Coach Killer Williams.
Yeah, he's shocking.
This is why we don't have players on the show regularly. We hang them out to dry, guys. We hang them out to dry. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Last year, the league saw, speaking of the Spurs, it saw them bring in Becky Hammon, who I've been a big fan of for a long time. And this season, you know, Sacramento, they've gone ahead and, I mean, Sacramento this season, they're going to be either scary or the biggest melting pot explosion we've seen. But they're pulling out all the stops this year. And they also bring in Nancy Liberman as the assistant coach for the Kings.
You just butchered her name.
I know, yeah. I butchered it. Thank you. Another hankies and we'll write that one down. But, I mean, your guys' thoughts, I mean, for me, it's just a little bit, well, I don't have any get-up. I don't have any prejudice against it. It's just the way the league's heading. But you think we're going to see more and more teams roll out and recognise more, you know, high-profile ladies in the basketball league?
Well, you know, if there's any ladies listening, I guess I've got to say the right thing. So, but the thing is, with the Kings owner Vivek, he's a very out there sort of guy, you know, with his 4 and 5 sort of theory that he wanted to play 4 and 5,
yeah,
and everything like that. So, I'm not surprised that he's hired a female assistant, and good on him. It's a good thing as well. I like it. I think it's a great idea, and I think that with Becky Hammon, you know, she knows why not hire a lady. Just because she's a lady, like I think it's a great thing for the league to show that, you know, it's not a male dominant sort of league, and you know, you'll find that NFL probably start to have assistant coach or defensive coordinators on the sidelines as well, or you know, which will be female. So you never know, you never know.
If a female is the best person for the job, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Plus, Becky Hammon's not a bad sort either.
hands off, buddy, hands off. I'm pulling rank.
She's probably closer to your age than mine anyway.
Oh. Now, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this. I was saving this sort of for the end. Normally on our shows, we'll get the courtside members in and get them to send us some questions for the show, but I didn't do this week because I wanted to sort of touch on it and just get your guys' thoughts. The National League, we haven't had a great run in the warm-up so far. I think the boys are 1-4. In the past, you know, we've seen Team USA in their warm-ups and obviously the injury that happened to Paul George, you know, this season, I mean, just the guys are stinking it up. But they finally get their first win, comes at a loss. Dante Exum out with a torn ACL. Just your guys' thoughts on guys on NBA contract playing for their national team and should they have some sort of reservation about pulling their players?
Oh, it really is a tough one. I guess it's a part of the sport. It's part of the sport, you know. Injuries happen. It can happen to anybody, you know. So it could have happened to Dante opening night for the Jazz. It could happen to Paul George in the playoffs. It could happen any time. So
yeah.
I think players just got to, you know, they got to listen to their body and say whether they're fit to play or if they need a rest and rest up their body. So it's a good question. Don't get me wrong, but it's a tough one. It really is.
I know. I guess you know these guys. They have an obligation to represent their national teams, and you know at the same time, I guess you know each and every team is going to you know be worried about their stars that are playing and you know pretty much you know exhausting all their energy you know playing for the national team when they're kind of worried about their own interests. But you know it can happen anyway. You know it could happen you know at any time at any moment. So I guess you got to take the good with the bad. But we just got to hope that you know someone like Dante comes back even better than he was now because he's going to. He's definitely going to lose a step, you know, because one thing I've seen in the league is that, you know, and from what even James said, that it's just crazy the amount of guys that are bigger, better and stronger than you, and you're constantly just up against that and you're facing that. So if you're not, you know, on top of your game and you're not, you know, constantly conditioned towards it, then you're going to lose, you know, a big amount of what's it called, time to catch up to it. So yeah.
I suppose it's that thing, though, you know, in Dante's favour, you know, he is so young. So he has a much better chance of bouncing back from this. But sometimes I feel like it comes down, you know, when it comes to the national team, it comes down a little bit to pride versus, you know, the pride in playing for your country versus your NBA salary.
Yeah.
Man, it's rough. It's going to affect, I think it's going to affect like Basketball Australia. I don't think a lot of people, I mean, I know he's not playing in our league, but really, I mean, Vince and I have talked extensively about this, you know, on the Courtside podcast. It's that, you know, really, we should be a top five team.
Yeah, we really should. We really should. I agree. I think with the talent coming in with Ben Simmons, Thon Maker, you know, some of the other kids, Humphrey kid, Isaac, is his name Isaac Humphrey? Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, with those guys coming through the system, Australia's going to get a medal. I definitely believe. I think Brazil, maybe not, but the next Olympics after that, I think that Australia definitely should aim for getting a medal at least because, you know, you can have Ben Simmons, Joe Ingles, Dante. You know, that's a pretty good mix right there. So hopefully they can get a medal at the next Olympics.
When I saw Dante hurt his ACL, just one thought came to mind. Future Laker down.
Well, him and Kobe share the same agent, Ron Palinka, so you never know. It could happen down the track. You never know.
Quaker, you know he wanted to... His dream is to play for the Lakers, so...
Come on.
It is. You know it is.
Take your Laker glasses off. Come on.
Mate, he's been a Laker fan all his life.
We, of course, are with the boys from A&E Sports Management. Guys, I've got a question for you. Just with the, you know, you guys had James Ennis out here doing the rounds at all the clubs. I've got to ask, you might not know, but I want to know. When you take a player, a high-profile player to, say, Collingwood Club and, you know, they get to see the grounds and the training facility and get a little bit more inside information, is he really going to hang on to the jersey?
Well, we'll tell you this. It's funny because... Because he was headed to Perth on the Sunday morning.
Yeah.
On the Friday when we went to Collingwood, I think it was about 2 or 3 hours afterwards, his agent got a call from I think the Perth marketing team, and they were just like, "What the hell are you doing taking pictures with Collingwood?" and they're just like, "Why the hell are you holding up that jersey too?" So, it's funny.
It's the biggest club in Australia, that's why.
It's also funny as well because James actually likes AFL. Like, he actually enjoys watching it. And, you know, on Saturday when we were going to watch Collingwood and Melbourne at the G, he was actually really pumped and excited to watch the game. So it's funny that a foreigner's come into Australia and actually embraced and wanted to know the rules and everything like that. So it's a credit to James as well.
So I did send him a tweet. I said, you know, make sure you just throw out the North Melbourne and West Coast jumpers. He didn't reply, but is he a Collingwood fan now? Can we come out and say it?
Oh, yeah, yes and no. But, you know, what he did for Perth Wildcats, he's sort of like the mayor in Perth now. So,
yeah, I was going to say, you know,
he has to support the West Coast Eagles.
Fair enough. I'll keep tweeting him and try and sway him. But I've got a question about James. Did he mention anything about what his goal is for this up and coming season? Whether it be more minutes or his point average, or
he mentioned that he needs to improve. Well, to me, he mentioned that he needs to really, really improve his ball handling. Mm. He said that's something, you know, that he struggled with, and he needs to really get better at it. He said that he's averaged about 17 minutes, I think, from last season. So that's something obviously that he needs to build up on, but.
And also, he mentioned that he wants to shoot a better 3-point percentage as well. So that's something he touched on as well.
Yeah, look, it's always exciting when you see an American come to the NBL, dominate here, and then get a chance in the NBA. Because for me, I just keep an eye on them all the time now, and without fail, I always. Last season, I was checking the Miami Heat box score to see what James Ennis did. You almost feel like he's sort of, you know, he's Australian.
He's honorary Australian. He's an honorary Aussie.
He is. You're right. He's an honorary Australian. And I just hope he just turns it on. I mean, this Miami Heat team, it looks really exciting what they've done with all the moves.
Well, the roster for James this year, like, is actually in his favour a lot. I mean, look, last year he had his breakout year. What was he? Over 62 games, he was almost 11 points a game, 6 boards. You know, he had that little breakout, but, I mean, this year, you know, a lot of the guys are back, like Dragic, Wade, obviously a big one for him. But that run-and-gun style, I mean, you know, we talk about Dragic being that push-the-ball-down-your-throat point guard, Vince. I mean, that style of play is only going to feed into his game. So, you know, we can expect more disappearances from Martell Webster this next season. That dunk was huge, man. That dunk was huge.
Yeah, it was. It was a big top dunk, really big top dunk.
So what can you give us just a slight hint of what you've got planned coming up, or something in the pipe works, like a Shaq or a Rodman or a...
I think Rodman was out here last year.
He was.
Unfortunately, I couldn't. I couldn't afford to go to that one. That was just way too much.
You call yourself a fan, Vince. You got two kids. You could have sold one. Come on.
Yeah, I thought about it. Any sort of hints? Nothing.
I'm going to call the lawyer first to double check.
I'll text you later, Amit. You can.
we've got a few things in the pipeline with a few other players that we've been talking to in the league. So we'll give you a hint that some are past and some are present.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that's all we'll say. So.
Well, I'm firming up as we speak, Amit.
Thank God we don't do video.
Seriously, I'm genuinely excited. It's just good to see two blokes just putting it all out there and having a crack. And it's, like we said before earlier, you've hit the ground running. It's exciting to watch. And, yeah, man, if you need two coffee runners, you know, me and Hank, we're...
we want to, you know, one thing that Quirko and I said to ourselves as well is that, now, part of our motivation of doing this is that we want to get basketball back to what it used to be in the 90s in this country.
Yeah.
You know, when we had, you know, the South Melbourne Magic, the Tigers, we had Sydney, we had Perth, we had, you know, guys like Ricky Grace, you had guys like Brad Key and all these guys, these household names, Slam Dunk McKinnon, and that's who we grew up with. And obviously coinciding with, you know, the NBA with Michael Jordan and Seattle and all this, you know, we need to get it back to what it used to be,
yeah.
You know, and all these little things are just, you know, and all the people that we've met along the way, you know, they've just been even more shocked, and they're just willing to get behind us because they know that, you know, basketball can get back to what it used to be.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
Yeah. Sorry, did you see the NBL relaunch today?
Yeah, I've seen the new logo as well. One of my friends texted me today, asked my opinion about it, and I sort of said I like the old logo that they had before.
I'll tell you what it's funny about that logo. That logo, Vince, is almost identical to a logo I sent to you a couple of weeks ago of a new Courtside logo.
Yeah, it is too.
And it actually...
Seems like you boys have to call your lawyers as well.
I know, right? I know. It's actually based off the Bad Boy Pistons logo.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, yes. That's right.
So I was like, hang on a minute. I haven't even released that yet.
I hope the NBL can get back. I mean, I remember going to... Flinders Park, as it was back then, you know, you get 15,000 at a Tigers Magic game. It was fantastic.
I think the biggest thing, though, you know, just speaking about that, is that the fans haven't gone anywhere. As far as like a grassroots level goes, NBA is actually, I feel like it's actually bigger than what it used to be. Like all those fans, you know, we're all dads now. We're all, you know, we can all afford to buy our own basketball gear now. Like it's, we're all still there. It's just that it needs something to sort of sparkle on, get the conversation going and bring it to the limelight.
Yeah, it's true. It definitely is. And you see Real Madrid and Man City and Roma come out to Melbourne, and just the buzz that they had out here. I mean, if they brought, you know, an NBA team out here, it could be any team. You know, it'd be amazing. It honestly would be amazing. So hopefully it can happen soon.
Well, guys, I want to thank you both for coming on the show. And please don't be strangers. We'd love to have you on again. For everyone out there, please go check out the guys. They're on Facebook, AND Sports Management. You can check them at the website, andsportsmgt.com.au. Of course, we'll be throwing up the links with the post of this show and on the Facebook page, All Caps Courtside. So, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been a pleasure for us to take part in the podcast with you and Vince. And you know, we really appreciate you guys having us on here. It's just a shame that we couldn't actually come through and get James to actually come up on the podcast because you fell sick, Hank. But we hope that, you know, that little video that I sent to you, you know, it really made up for something. So,
dude, made my day. I felt so bad. I felt absolutely so bad about it. But everyone's still sick.
I was having the week from hell at work, and that made my day.
I was just worried about him because the thing is, I had to tell him like three times to pronounce your names properly. He's like, he couldn't say it. He's like, I said Vince, and I was like, Vinny, and he's like, what? He's like, I'm like, just say Vinny. I'm like, just say Vince, and he's like, and Tank. And I'm like, no, Hank. He actually did it about three times.
That's awesome.
times until I had the right one, and then I sent it to both of you. So
hey, if he wants to call me Tank McCoy, I'll be Tank McCoy. It's fine.
Yeah, too bad you built like a pea shooter. But anyway, no, look, mate, happy to support anything you're doing. So whatever you got going, let us know. I'll retweet it, plug it, share it. Yeah, man, anything you need or want, just hit me up. You know what to do.
Yeah, I will do the same for you guys as well. Thank you for thank you for having us as well. And it's good to see guys that are passionate about the NBA and NBL and basketball in general doing doing a podcast and doing your thing. So keep it up, guys. It's really good.
Thanks, guys. We'll definitely have you guys again. It's been an absolute blast this hour. And of course, you can catch all the Courtside Banter at the website www.crtsde.com, where you'll find links to the show, the Courtside Podcast. We're available on iTunes and Podomatic. Search the Courtside Podcast. You'll find us, guys. Leave us a review. Subscribe. Of course, we're on the Facebook page, all caps Courtside, throughout the week with our regular banter. So please swing by and drop us a line. Vince, it's been emotional.
Watch out! Yeah.
Here it comes. Watch out! Here it comes.
Watch out! Ball.